Hello, I'm Garrett Ludwig. Every week at this time, Chris tells you about where you can find a good meal. Welcome to Chris on the Town. First restaurant review takes us to Chutney Biryani and Noodle Bar. It was written for the Fairfield County Foodie, and it's entitled Connecticut's Culinary Scene as a New Indian Gem. I'm originally from India, so I'm always game for some Indian food. Sadly, Connecticut doesn't have that many Indian restaurants. The ones I've tried thus far, I find myself recommending the same two or three places to everyone who asks. For proper sit-down experience, I really enjoy Chef Prasad Chirmanula's India restaurant in New Canaan, and now this new location in West Hartford. For a delicious fast food grab-and-go experience, Gopnitna Nair Tikawe in New Haven is a sure bet. Finally, for an in-between experience that is good for casual eat-in or take-out, I highly recommend Royal Guard in Norwalk. And then I happened upon Chutney Biryani and Noodle Bar totally by accident. It was during a cozy dinner with my honey at Maison Dixon Smokehouse in Stamford a few months ago. We were seated right by the window overlooking the line of restaurants across the street. What a peculiar concept, I thought, a biryani and noodle bar. Say what? Quite simply, the owner, Chef Sahara Dara, wants to serve what she likes to cook and eat. So with a selection of traditional Indian appetizers, entrees, desserts on this smallish menu, he also offers a... I have visited Chutney twice now and have discovered some absolute standout things on the menu. They are quite authentic in flavor as well as spice levels. In many cases, the quality of food is far superior than what you would even get in India. Case in point, the tandoori wings, which are to die for. So incredibly flavorful, these are super tender, really meaty and juicy wings. Sarath told me that instead of the sourcing frozen wings like many other Indian restaurants do, he's only buying fresh. I'm sure his secret marinade contributes to the end result as well, but what a difference that makes. The Gobi Manchurian is yet another winner, with its bold flavors that hit all the right notes of spicy, sweet, and sour, all blended perfect in harmony. The Hyderabadi-style Dum Biryani is one of the favorite dishes in Indian cuisine. Chutney offers it in four varieties. I have tried their goat biryani, and let me tell you, it was really hard to stop eating long, long after my belly was already super stuffed. Nice and spicy with perfectly fluffed basmati rice, accented with fried onions, cilantro, raita, and special shoraba, aka gravy, aka sauce, which is always served with Hyderabadi Dum Biryani. This is pure heaven. The lamb chops are another must on the menu. Just trust me on that. The naan here is also quite delightful as well, so light, flavorful. Don't forget to try the garlic naan, please. As for the other Asian influences, I have not tried the ramen and chutney, but the pork buns were really quite good. I've yet to try the Chinese dishes on the menu. Going by what I have already tasted at Chutney, I'm sure these will be packed with flavor and spice as well. Chutney offers simple lunchtime options for the working crowd in and around Stamford. You get to customize with your choice of bread out of six options and a meat entree, lamb or chicken, in one of five types of sauces, all for $9.99. Online delivery is also available. Equipped with a bar, Chutney also offers a selection of wines, beer, and cocktails. The place still is in its early days. It is functioning with a handful of front-of-the-house staff members, but they are all very polite and eager to make sure that you have a delicious experience. If you start chatting with Sarath, which is very likely, he will be sure to recommend some absolute must-haves on the menu that day. Give it a try. Tell me how you like it. Chutney Biryani and Noodle Bar, Stamford, Connecticut. The next restaurant review is Cato Wine Bar. It was written by James Gribben. It's entitled Stamford Italian Pizza, Pasta, Cocktails, Lunch, a Roman Refresh at Stamford's Cato. The Italian word Cato translates directly to cooked, a simple enough name for a pasta and pizza spot just off of Stamford's bullseye, but neither the place nor the word are as obvious as you would look deeper. No mere red sauce joint, the Bank Street Trattoria has Roman roots. It's also a wine bar. Cato, you see, can also mean sauced. The space has been open as Cato since 2012, and restaurateurs Claudio and Sylvie Ridolfi have now revamped the staff with Chef Rolando Guardado via Z Hospitality Group, Mediterraneano, Terra, sommelier Jan Toogood, a Voce Le Fat Poodle, and the mixologist Eric Buffo, formerly of Walrus and Carpenter, CT Bites took a look. Here's what we saw. Kind of was a deep, narrow space with a glass front at one end and a serious pizza oven on the other end. A bar runs almost the length of the place, and a washboard of wooden beams curved overhead like you're drinking under a perpetual rip curl. The facing wall of the exposed brick is covered in photos of Simonetta Simeoni, an Italian actress and model who appeared in several 1960s swords and sandals features. In the photo, she is beautiful enough to be a risk to cardiac health. She's also Sylvie's mother, so they're not just decoration, they're family photos. When in Rome, drink a Roma 85, the cocktail served at Cato with gin, prosecco, imperial, simple syrup, and lemon juice, dry but with a sweet finish. It was bright stars. We waited for our antipasti. We are completely overspending on this, but Claudio gives us some leeway, and too good, as he brought the platter. At $17.50 for three choices, it's worth it. The Tellagio was creamy but retained a good amount of funky bite. I particularly like the rough, simple salami sriracha and a counterpoint of mortadella. The fried calamari we sampled was very light in both color and weight in the batter, but I may have preferred the grilled calamari cross-hatched with a flavor char with piccata oil and drizzle of balsamic. Eric at the bar is reliably creative and able to tailor drinks to the individual preferences of patrons. I've had his drinks at both W&C and Cato. I can say with confidence that one glass leads to another. Sommelier Too Good has been able to create a 400-bottle selection, my girlfriend, as he calls it, and he's equally enthusiastic about pairing the right drink with the right palate. A bunker should thus be built to guard against the psychic tornado of spirits. It could be found at Cato Arancini. These golf ball-sized bombs make pleasing bar snacks and are sharp with gorgonzola. Claudio is from Ostia, the city of Rome's ancient port, where antipasti and piattini are inevitably followed by the pasta course. We had the bucatini, little holes for their tubular cross-section, all Americana, and a tomato sauce with guanciale and pecorino and tornatelli. Looked like a spaghetti to me, in an olive oil-based sauce with pecorino and loads of black pepper. Both pastas were made downstairs and both were excellent. The sweet San Marzano tomatoes were dressed up with the meat inclusion, but not made heavy by it, allowing the pastas to stand up as a 50-50 partner in a dish. The cacio e pepe sauce was thin and thick with pepper, but also let the pasta and cheese play their parts. A fist-sized serving was perfect for me, but maybe you're more dedicated. There were a lot of us at the table, so two pizzas became a sort of palate cleanser. The first pizza, chicken scarpellino, was served with slices of chicken, sausage, spinach, hot cherry peppers. I enjoyed the additional protein and the mouth-searing punch of the peppers as beads of sweat broke out of my brow, but others were somewhat put off. Call it a bit of an adventurous pie. The second was a more familiar margherita, tomato sauce, mozzarella, nut slices, and basil. The pizza oven at Cato's is hellfire hot and scorches its produce with brown and black blisters, which, as a child of New Haven scene, I can't live without. The thoroughly toasted crust at the edges is thus good as the pungent moths in the middle. Grilled lamb chops were served with cut thin, about 3/4 inch thick, bone in and well done, but were somehow all so significantly better than I expected, both that night and reheated the next afternoon. The balsamic drizzle contributed, I think. A chunk of the branzino was served in a lobster butter sauce. There was a tasty crust derived from searing the fairly heavy fish. The lobster butter added both a large amount of flavor and moisture. I would like to have had more of this, but I was done. Well, nearly. I did have bites of a few desserts, with my preference being for some Sicilian creation under a green head with a body like cannoli filling, only fluffy and light. It was a good way to cap off the meal without immediately slipping off into catatonia, I thought as I slipped into the night, and to do just that. Cato Wine Bar, 51 Bank Street, Stamford, call area 203-914-1400, or go to CatoWineBar.com, CatoWineBar.com. The next restaurant review is Geronimo's. It was written by Leanne Griffin. It's entitled, Are You Dying to Dine at Geronimo's New Scorpion Table? Dining with live scorpions sounds like something straight out of an episode of Fear Factor, but the new scorpion table at Geronimo Tequila Bar and Southwest Grill in New Haven is becoming the hottest seat in the house. The table in the restaurant's dining room, which debuted a few weeks ago, contains 9 live female scorpions, devenomized, Geronimo partner Rob Bolduc assures that crawl, scuttle, and sometimes even battle under a pane of glass as diners enjoy margaritas and guacamole. The table with seats up to 10 people has been a great conversation piece, Bolduc says, with many wary diners giving it to curiosity. At first they're scared, but by the next thing you know, people are hovering over the glass looking at the scorpions. Scorpions, originating from Madagascar, are fed a diet of live crickets once or twice a week, and they eat as needed. The idea first came to them several years ago when Geronimo participated in the American Liver Foundation's Flavors of Connecticut dinner. Bolduc says restaurants compete to present the most unique and creative table designs, and Director of Operations Tim Scott suggested the live arachnid display. Bolduc is a furniture designer by trade, and his team at Bold Wood Interiors custom-built the table. 3 years ago, the Geronimo team introduced the scorpion table to the bar area, and its Fairfield location was quickly sought after, with diners calling well in advance for reservations. Bolduc says Geronimo may plan to add a second scorpion table in Fairfield's dining room. It's been such a popular attraction for families with kids. Geronimo Tequila Bar and Southwest Grill is at 271 Crown Street in New Haven. Hours are Monday through Thursday, 11:30 a.m. to 1 a.m., Friday and Saturday, 11:30 a.m. to 2 a.m., Sunday, 11:30 a.m. to midnight. Full menu hour and happy hours are at GeronimoBarAndGrill.com, GeronimoBarAndGrill.com. Next restaurant review is about food trucks. It's written by Michaela Porter. It's entitled, Food Trucks May Soon Take to Streets of West Hartford. Food Truck Park Could Follow. Tate Norden wanted to help the Friends of Fern Ridge Park raise money last summer by setting up his converted 1959 Chevy Viking pickup truck and selling food. He later found out he wasn't allowed to. Under the town's current ordinances, according to the town officials, food truck vendors aren't allowed on right-of-way streets. But that could soon change. Norden, a 31-year-old West Hartford resident and founder of Iron and Grain Company, mobile bar and grill service launched about a year ago, reached out to town staff to revise the update the town's zoning ordinance. Working with Norden, town staff crafted a proposal ordinance that would allow food trucks to set up in the general industrial district zone, primarily the New Park Avenue area, town officials said. We just see the trend and the interest in the community in having them, so our role is to make sure where it makes the most sense, where it could work and without becoming problematic for the commercial district or traffic or public safety concerns, Community Development Director Mark McGovern said. The proposed 27-page ordinance outlines the hours of operation, 7 a.m. to 10 p.m., how close food trucks can set up from restaurants, 500 feet, how operators can handle trash, food trucks would be required to provide their own waste receptacles, and other restrictions, no portable signs, seating areas or loudspeakers allowed. Food truck vendors would be required to receive a license from the chief of police. Town planner Todd Dumay said the West Hartford Bloomfield Heft District, in reviewing the ordinance, requested that language be added to clarify and indicate that the food trucks be required to comply with state and local food establishments' health codes. McGovern said he thinks the ordinance is crafted in a way that mitigates concerns from brick-and-mortar restaurants, since the industrial district doesn't have any restaurants. There's some restaurants, but it's not a restaurant district per se, McGovern said. If it was allowed in another commercial district with a lot of other restaurants, it could create a competitive challenge and concern amongst others that the food trucks would be drawing customers away from the people paying taxes. In Manchester, vendors are allowed only in the business zones and are required to have a permit from the police department and permission from the property owner. Vendors in the public right-of-way are required a vending permit through the police department. Food trucks are only allowed to set up on Main Street in Middletown during special events, according to Thomas Morano, City Economic Development Specialist. Middletown has paid parking in the downtown area and is committed to protecting the nearly 60 brick-and-mortar restaurants that have made big investments in the city, he said. Morano said the police department and health department regulate food trucks. In Hartford, food trucks are seen as a supplement to the brick-and-mortar establishments in the city, according to Planning and Zoning Chairwoman Sarah Braunin. Vendors interested in selling on the street are to seek approval through the Hartford Parking Authority, Bronin said, and those seeking to use a food truck as an accessory use are reviewed on a case-by-case basis. Heather Rydell, 32, co-owner of Mikado Foods, whose food truck stops at Bushnell Park in Hartford and Yukon Health in Farmington, said that though their business is primarily catering, She thought the proposal was great, but hopes food truck operators will be respectful of businesses already established in town. I think it's a good move for the area, Reynolds said. It will be great to build on the food culture in the town. West Hartford's proposed ordinance also includes language to build a food truck park in town that could accommodate 5 food trucks. Someone interested in building a food truck park would be required to submit a formal plan to the town's Planning and Zoning Commission, among other requirements, according to DeMay. DeMay said town officials looked at food truck park ordinance languages from other around the country and didn't find anything in Connecticut, but found food truck park ordinances from Texas and Oklahoma. It was kind of a hybrid approach between what we saw in the town's outdoor dining ordinance and what we thought worked well elsewhere, DeMay said. The food truck park is required to have at least 2 permanent bathrooms and must be handicapped accessible. If the proposed ordinance is adopted this spring, food trucks could start setting up along New Park Avenue as soon as this summer, town officials said. A food truck park would require plans, parking, and public hearing. We think it's something that could bring additional new life to the New Park Avenue area with the industrial zone, McGovern said. We want to be progressive and do things that will continue to attract people to West Hartford. A public hearing on the proposed ordinance is scheduled for March 28th at 6:30 p.m. in room 314 of West Hartford Town Hall at 50 South Main Street. The next restaurant review is Five and Dime. It was written by Leanne Griffin. It's entitled Newington's Gold Burgers to Open Breakfast Lunch Diner Next Door. The team behind Newington's favorite offbeat burger joint is looking to branch out and conquer the morning meal. Later this summer, Gold Burgers owner Matt Crowley plans to open Five and Dime, a breakfast and lunch eatery next door to its popular fast casual restaurant known for its creative burgers and hot dogs. The new spot will take over space occupied by a former law office at 1100 Main Street. Crowley describes the Five and Dime's concept as a diner-style breakfast, deli, lunch, with eggs dishes, egg sandwiches, breakfast pastries, lunchtime items like salads and deli sandwiches, and house-roasted meats like turkey and roast beef. He says he hopes to open Five and Dime by August 1st. We'll do what we know, keep it small like we are, he says. We can't get any better for a